Hi, this is Pastor Woods. I just wanted to come and talk to you today about some things. You know, Thanksgiving's less than 2 weeks away. And I think that's wonderful that we all get together with people if we can. If we don't, we need to stop and thank God anyhow for all his blessings. I want to talk to you today about a question that Jesus asked, where are the nine? We read in Luke 17, 11 through 19, says, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the nine, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go, your faith has made you well. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Jesus was traveling the border between Galilee and Samaria. Galilee was Jewish. Samaritans despised the Jews. They lived in Samaria. We don't know exactly where they were, just near the border. It explains why a Samaritan was in the group of lepers that met Jesus on the road. Leprosy is a terrible disease. A person's skin begins to rot and fall off. Many lepers lose fingers and toes. It's very painful and very stinky. A person with leprosy is covered with ugly, pussy sores. Leprosy destroys the nerve endings, and person finally can't feel pain, and it's very dangerous when you don't know that you have something that is hurting you because you don't pull away from it. You let it continue to damage you. For example, Father Damien, also known as Blessed Damien of Molokai, he lived from January 3, 1840 to April 15, 1889, and he was a Roman Catholic missionary priest from Belgium. He was most noted for caring and ministering to people with leprosy. He spent much of his life working with lepers in Hawaii who were forced by government-sanctioned medical segregation to live on the island of Molokai. He knew he had leprosy when he spilled boiling water on his leg and couldn't feel it. Leprosy was a common disease in Jesus' time. Parts of the world today have leprosy. You can find lepers in India or China, Japan, parts of Africa, the West Indies, and South America. Leprosy is a very contagious disease. It's easy to catch leprosy. Just touching someone with leprosy or touching something that person has touched could give the disease. Lepers had to live outside the community. God instructed Israel in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46. He said, he shall remain unclean all the days during which he has an infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. It's kind of like, you know, if Marty got leprosy, she couldn't live with me anymore. She'd have to leave our home and even leave Sun Valley and go someplace where she would be isolated from the rest of society. She couldn't hug me or couldn't hug our children or grandchildren or hold our great-grandchildren because they might get this horrible disease. How sad. Think about these people that all of a sudden realized they had leprosy and had to separate themselves from the people they loved and be out away and not be able to have fellowship anymore. Leprosy wasn't just bad for a person's body. It was terrible on their social life. No friends, no family. A leper had to live alone. No Thanksgiving. Lepers got so lonely they'd find other lepers to live with. That's why these 10 men were together. They all had leprosy and weren't allowed to be part of their family or community anymore. You know, today there are still leper colonies. I was reading one time about Beth Moore, who wanted to visit a leper colony but couldn't make herself go in because of the horrible sights and the smell of the rotting flesh. Lepers had to stay away from well people and warn them not to come near. That's why these 10 lepers were standing at a distance outside the city, and they had to cry out to Jesus for mercy. They called Jesus Master. They knew he could heal them, but they couldn't approach Jesus because of the crowd following him. Whenever people met a leper, the leper had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Well, God told Israel how to deal with leprosy. Anyone thought to have leprosy had to be examined by a priest. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 2 and 3 said, "When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean." In the diagnosis, if it was positive, Leviticus 13:45 says, "As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He would remain unclean as long as he had this terrible disease. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Leviticus 13:45-46 says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare. He shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." What a horrible sentence for somebody that had this horrible disease. The leper was considered utterly unclean, both physically and spiritually. The Jews thought leprosy was a punishment from God for a particular sin. Far worse than any other disease, it was a mark of God's anger. Leprosy was a death sentence. A person with leprosy was doomed. There was absolutely no hope. Only three people were healed of leprosy in the Old Testament. First was Moses. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Again the Lord said to him, 'Put your hand inside your cloak.' And he put his hand inside the cloak. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow." And God was using this as an illustration, and then God healed him. Miriam, Moses' sister, when she decided that she should have more authority in the camp and challenge Moses' authority, was stricken with leprosy. And she was isolated for, I think, 10 days, a number of days. And finally, the people prayed and Moses prayed and she was healed. You remember the story of Naaman, how Naaman was military captain in Syria, and how Naaman got leprosy, and his little servant girl said to him, "You know, there's a prophet over in Israel that can help you." The prophet was Elisha, and so he went over to get healed to find out if this little girl was right, and he asked the king over there. He said, "You know, can you heal me of leprosy?" And the king was just hysterical. "How am I supposed to heal you?" Well, somebody said, "Well, he's supposed to go out and see Elisha." He went out there, if you remember, and Elisha didn't even come out to see him. He just sent word out, "Go and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River." And this insulted Naaman. He thought at least he should come out and say some words and make some signs and stuff. He got very upset. And he started to go back home to Syria. And one of his servants said to him, "Well, you know, sir, we've come this far. Why don't you at least try what he says?" And talked him into it. He went down and he dipped in the River Jordan 7 different times. I used to preach that sermon called 7 Ducks in Dirty Water. Anyhow, he dipped himself and came out. The Bible says his skin was pure and clean and he was totally healed. And so he did rejoice. Had to obey God, though, in order to be able to find his healing. You know, because people believed that God inflicted leprosy on people who were sick, it was for their sins that they'd committed. People with leprosy were despised. They were not allowed to live in any community. They were removed from society so they wouldn't defile or infect anyone else. The Jewish Talmud instructed lepers to stay about 300 feet away from people, about a length of a football field, I mean. They'd yell, "Unclean, unclean," to warn people away. Sometimes relatives would leave food for them to find, or maybe an old rag or a towel hanging on a post so they could come wipe their sores, and those sores were gooky with pus and blood and just nasty. Isaiah 64:6 makes reference here to this. He said, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." What he's saying is our holiness, our sin, you know, we cannot even approach God because of the horrible sin and filthiness that's in us because of the curse of sin on our lives. But, you know, if we come to God and we repent and ask humbly to be forgiven, God cures us of sin. And we become whole and healthy in sight of God. Matthew 8:2-4 tells about another leper. "And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priests and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" Notice, Jesus touched him. I mean, that was just clear out of the ordinary. It was forbidden to touch a leper. The lesson here, though, is that sin defiles us in the sight of God, but through Jesus Christ, we can be healed of the plagues of sin that separate us from God. God hates sin. It's so repulsive to him that he died to destroy it. He died on a cross because he hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He loves you and he loves me. Sin destroys our fellowship with God. God is holy and, as I said, detests sin. And sin will keep us out of his holy heaven, but you can be saved from your sin by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You can be accepted into God's kingdom and praise God for the grace that he gives to you. Another lesson we learn from the leper in Matthew's gospel is, like that leper, we can confidently approach Jesus with all our sin and defilement, and when we plead for cleansing and forgiveness, he's not going to turn us away. He will go ahead and answer our prayer. He has removed our sins, the Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 12. He's removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Praise God. Jesus came to save us from sin, something worse than leprosy. Leprosy just kills the body. Sin kills our soul and can damn us to hell for all eternity. We need to say thank you to Jesus for giving us this remedy. Jesus was on that trip and he met these 10 lepers. And only, you know, he healed them. He said, go and show yourself to the priests, and they were cleansed. But only one returned to thank Jesus. He got far more than just healing of his body. He experienced the salvation of his soul as well. Jesus told them, you know, go show yourself to the priests. And as they turned to go, all 10 lepers realized their leprosy was gone. They'd been healed. Their skin had changed from being full of sores and disease to being clean and healthy. Only one man bothered to show his gratitude. Isn't that strange? Luke 17:15-19, when one of them saw that he was healed, he came back. He praised God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him for the man. It says, for this man was a Samaritan. When Jesus saw the Samaritan, he immediately wondered about the other 9 men who had also been healed. And he asked, weren't all 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Didn't anyone else return and give praise to God except this outsider? Then Jesus said to him, get up and go. Your faith has healed you. You know, it's hard to believe that just one of the 10 came back to thank Jesus. The other 9 knew they were healed, but they didn't take the time to say thank you. Probably when they saw they were healed, they ran home to their families and their friends. After all, they'd been far away from them for far too long, and they wanted to come and make redo their acquaintances. Imagine their excitement, how happy their families were to see them again. These 9 were so happy to be healed, but they didn't return to Jesus to publicly give thanks. They didn't praise God with a loud voice and throw themselves at his feet like the leper who did return to thank Jesus. When Jesus died in our place, his blood healed us from a disease so much more hideous and so much worse than leprosy. A disease that only God can cure. A disease that will destroy our soul for eternity. You know, sin spoils everything. Sin spoils us too. Like a terrible disease, sin ruins us. Sin is a great spiritual disease that requires healing. We seem to recognize physical needs better than spiritual needs, but when we're hungry, we eat. When we're sick, we go to the doctor. When we're tired, we sleep. Each of us has been plagued with sins like hate, anger, greed, lying, and selfishness. Just like leprosy destroys the body, sin destroys our soul and needs healing. Jesus wants to heal our sin problem. He wants us to call on him for help, just like the 10 lepers called on him for help. And like the one leper who returned, he wants us to come and worship and praise and thank God at all times for the fact that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We can do this when we're alone, but God also wants us to give thanks to him publicly and with other believers. The 10 lepers received a wonderful gift. The problem was 9 of them didn't receive it with true thankfulness. They were happy and relieved that they were healed, but they didn't choose to thank the gift giver, Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus asked, where are the 9? He is asking, why aren't they giving thanks to God? He might ask us the same question, why aren't you giving me thanks? Jesus gave us the free gift of salvation. We didn't earn it. You know, even though sin deserves punishment, Jesus took that punishment for us when he died on the cross. The only one that could forgive our sins was somebody that was perfect without sins of his own, that would shed his blood, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood there is no remission, no forgiveness for sin. And so Jesus took my sins and your sins upon himself rather than let us pay the price for our sins, because we could not do it. Having sin in our own lives, there's no way we could sacrifice ourselves for you or for me or for anybody, not even for ourselves. You know, I think we need to really take time this season to stop and say thank you, Lord, not only because of the fact you saved us from sin, which is a tremendous thing, But Lord, for all the blessings that you give us that we just take for granted, please forgive us, Lord, for taking you for granted and realize how wonderful you are. You know, one day a man visited church. He arrived early, parking his car, and got out. And another car pulled up. The driver said, "I always parked there. You took my place." The visitor went inside for Sunday school, found an empty seat, and sat down. And an old lady from the church approached him and said, "That's my seat. You took my place." Well, the visitor was somewhat distressed by this rude welcoming, but said nothing. After Sunday school, the visitor went up to the sanctuary and sat down, and another member walked up. "That's where I always sit. You took my place." The visitor was even more troubled by this statement, but said nothing. Later, as the congregation was praying for Christ to dwell among them, the visitor stood and people began to notice things about him they hadn't seen before. Horrible scars were visible on his hands and on his sandaled feet, and someone from the congregation noticed him and called out, "What happened to you?" The visitor humbly replied, "I took your place." Let's remember that Christ Jesus took our place on Calvary. Why not pause and give thanks to him for his love and mercy, and then tell someone else about his love for them? That's the biggest, best gift you'll ever receive. The problem is many people accept Christ's free gift of forgiveness and never really show thankfulness to Jesus. God's message is clear. We should have hearts filled to overflowing with thanksgiving to God, and we should tell God and others how thankful we are. God has done so much for us. He deserves our thanks. Psalms 107, 1 and 2 says, "Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His faithful love continues forever." That's what we who have been freed from sin by the Lord should say. And if you have not been freed from sin, why don't you go and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Repent and tell him that you quit sinning and you want to live for him. What a tremendous day this is if you would do that. And God would make Thanksgiving so much better. Well, Jesus was publicly crucified to heal our sins. We should take time to publicly thank him for his amazing gift. We should live a life of thankfulness just like the leper who returned to give thanks to Jesus. We should practice Colossians chapter 2, 7. Grow strong in what you believe just as you were taught. Be more thankful than ever before. Thanksgiving Day is fast approaching. Do more than gorge yourself on a big meal and watch football on TV that you can hardly stay awake for because you gorged yourself. Instead, take time to be thankful to God for his abundant mercy and praise him for what he's done for you. I do wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and I do wish that you'll find all that God has for you, which is the plan of salvation. Bible says Jesus is not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Let's pray. Thank you so much, dear Jesus, for what you've done for each one of us, for dying on that cross, where paying our sins where we could not, and giving us an opportunity to accept you and be part of your family. Thank you, Lord. And I would pray that if there's people listening that don't know you as their Savior, this would be the day that they would repent and come to you and become one of your followers. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to get a hold of me, you know the routine. My post office box number is box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. You're welcome to write to me if you want to. Also, you can send a text with that number, and I would get it. Also, if you need to, you can send me an email, but I get so many, it's hard sometimes to keep track, but it's lowercase, revwmwoods@gmail.com. Well, God bless you. I want to remind you, I'm preaching at First Baptist Church in Holbrook again tomorrow, and I would invite you to come as we talk about what is justification. I just pray that you'll have a good day, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless you.